Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
It's a Victory Monday. We got a ton of calls. The Twitch channel is hopping. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Try to convince Waddle to take his shirt off and celebrate.
Ain't happening.
In the next 3 hours. Maybe he'll do it with Gene Greco in studio.
No,
a lot of spirited conversation going on there. A lot of great tweets. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Bears win, Cubs win with a no-hitter, and the Sox just dominate Detroit yet again.
Best record in the American League.
Do you want to react to anything Chase had to say? He had a lot going on there.
I'm going to have to look at the film. I'm back on the NFL Game Pass list, so like I can watch all the film like on Wednesday. I think they tried to get their tight ends involved in the game. Jimmy Graham saw some of what Jimmy Graham was out there doing. Cole Kmet did not have really any impact at all. I don't know how many times he was actually in routes. I think I've heard somewhere the stat was he 9 or 10 pass plays where he was actually involved in a pass route? I thought overall Matt had himself a good day, Matt Nagy. I like the fact that they were committed to the running game. I thought the running game was above average. It wasn't elite. They averaged more than 5 yards per carry. I think they stayed with it. I think that, as I've said all along, regardless of who your quarterback is, you're going to have to help those guys out with running the football. I thought you saw Matt use a lot of play action pass when they were. There wasn't a ton of straight drop back for Mitch. Did you notice that?
Right.
A lot of the passing in the first three quarters was off of run fakes. And I think that's wise. Half rolls, get him out on the edge, let him do. If you ask Mitch to sit in the pocket and just play pocket passer, I don't think any of us are going to really like how that goes. And you saw a bit of that in the first 45 minutes yesterday.
You want to take something good out. I don't know if anyone's mentioned this either. And the number to reach us is 3-3-2-3-7-7-6 is the offensive line.
Yes.
The offensive line, like, they blocked better for the run.
Solid.
I mean, when you get him going forward, they protected Mitch.
One sack, right? Did they give him one sack?
Yeah, right. And so, like, give credit to the O-line.
Absolutely.
That's one area of the game that you could really say, you know, played as well as we could have hoped. Yes?
Yes, no doubt. And the other thing I said is, listen, I think Mooney, he's a rookie. I liked what I saw.
Yes.
I think Anthony Miller, I mean, it wasn't just the touchdown catch, which was a brilliant throw and a good catch and a great route. It was the one-handed grab on the sideline. Anthony Miller looked like the kid that we thought he was going to be after a very good rookie season. Dealt with some shoulder injuries and some other things. He looked really good yesterday. And Allen Robinson is Allen Robinson.
Right.
I mean, they have that could be a significantly better wide receiver room this year than it was last year. That's also something that it was very encouraging to me.
How often does Nagy trust a fifth-round draft pick in his very first game in the NFL?
It's great, great.
Like, we were just talking about Cole Kmet didn't get enough run. They found Mooney. He's a fifth-round pick.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, a lot of people compare him to Taylor Gabriel.
Well, and, you know, if you watch him, and he doesn't look like a rookie. I mean, he's a solid route runner. He's obviously got burst. Good feel. I thought he looked, I mean, and again, it's a small sample size. I thought he looked really good. I thought Jalen Johnson showed you some good, some bad, but certainly looked like he belonged. I think he was a guy that, you know, will benefit from being on the field as time goes by as a rookie.
It was his first game, no preseason.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I there were some things that I identify, and I'm like, okay, I see that. You asked me about the quarterback, and I just told you it was more of the same. The things that Mitch has done well in the past occasionally, he did well yesterday. The things that he has struggled with in the past, he struggled with yesterday.
I want everyone to soak this up. Chris Black made this before the show. Think about the weekend that we had. Think about Jason Hayward's unlikely home run. Think about no-hitter. Think about the Bears coming back like for only the second time by that many points since like the 40s. Okay? Think about the White Sox just dominating and having, at this time, the best record in the American League. It was one weekend that we will never forget. Soak in the sounds of this glorious Victory Monday.
This is the 11th play of the drive, and the pass caught for the touchdown by Jimmy Graham.
Ready?
They don't, and there's the rollout and the pass, and it's caught for the touchdown.
Or you just roll it out and throw it to Javon Wims for an easy touchdown.
1-2. Jose tags at center field. Reyes going back at the track, at the wall. It is gone! That's an 8 spot. With one out in the fourth. That'll teach you to break his hit streak. 1-2. Oh, that ball's hammered. Way out of here. Bring him home again. Goodness gracious. Ride the wave with Jose Abreu.
Rossi's thinking, you know, Hamilton not running, and a drive well hit. Way back there. Gone. Hayward, a three-run homer. Oh, baby.
Come on. Baby, don't you want to go?
First down. And there's the long pass to Miller. And Miller is there. And it's a touchdown. Anthony Miller, who has made two brilliant catches today, does it again, and the Bears take the lead.
He is one out away. Deep breath. Three balls and a strike. Up the middle. Baez has it. It's a no-hitter. The former college walk-on has made history in Milwaukee.
Great job by Chris Black. And we finally got the sun out after like a week of rain on Sunday. And we will always remember what went on this past weekend. Like, I know championships are still the thing, but we were wandering the sports desert for so long. And just to even get sports back was a victory. But now when we're truly talking about Victory Mondays and monumental tasks, a White Sox team that still is a year ahead of schedule with the best record in the American League, a Bears team that still came back from double digits in Detroit, say what you want and analyze everything, and a kid who was not even recruited in college, a walk-on like Len Casper said on Marquee. Thank you to Marquee. Thank you to NBC Sports Chicago. And thank you to Fox.
All good stuff locally. And outside the local web, you had a ton of college football this weekend, which was fun to watch. And the fellas, Adam and Chris and Jay Hood with the football show on Saturday. Well done, boys. You had the U.S. Open Tennis Championship. I mean, you had the NBA playoffs. You had the NHL playoffs. I mean, like, we have sports, my friend.
It's awesome. Dustin, can we get Dustin in Crown Point, Chris? You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dustin?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You're right. It feels like a great weekend to be a Chicago sports fan. But I wanted to say I think Waddle is 100% right on his take. I think that the way Mitch played in the fourth quarter is fool's gold. And I kind of wanted to talk specifically about one play, the one where Allen Robinson made that awesome catch between like three Detroit defenders. By the way, we need to extend that guy, get him his money. Right. But on the other side of the field, Jimmy Graham was wide open. I mean, it looked like there was nobody within a 15-yard radius of that guy. And he just missed him. And we see that all too frequently with Mitch. And what Sylvie said earlier, you know, the defense just let Detroit just march right down the field at the end of the game. And it just seems like, you know, we saw that in London against the Raiders and in the playoffs against Philly.
We were a dropped pass away from, all of the fun we had the first 15 minutes of the show. It would have been tears and screaming.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, seriously. If Mitch would have come back with that, and then they would have lost on a completion in the end zone that should have been.
Yeah.
Think about how we'd be torching the defense today.
Well, I mean, and listen, they still deserve criticism. I mean, they do. Like, I think they're going to be better. But, like, that's not the Bears' defense I was expecting to see. Again, Khalil Mack, they'd be better.
Khalil Mack huddled the defense. When was that? Late in the first or early in the second quarter? Did you see that?
I thought it was in the second half, wasn't it?
Was that second half? He's like, guys, Let's get our heads out of our backsides.
They drove for a touchdown at the end of the first half, right?
Yeah,
the
Lions, they double
dipped. And, and then the first drive of the second half was a touchdown. Like,
I won't be critical, by the way. I think Chase brought it up about running the ball when the Bears had the football late in the first half. They just didn't execute.
Yeah.
You know me, Waddle. I want my foot on the gas before the half. They need to be good enough to go down in a minute and a half and score. There's no noise. You're on the road.
Yeah.
Go down and score against the Lions as banged up as they were. I didn't think it was the wrong move.
I just
thought it was bad execution.
Bad execution. There's no doubt about it. I mean,
Alec in Wakanda, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alec?
Gentlemen. You know, it wasn't pretty, but Al Davis said it best. Just win, baby, win.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So the point for my call is, as a former special teamsman myself, I have to irritate Abdallah by asking when y'all are going to talk about the fact that we have found our new franchise kicker, and he goes by the name of Cairo Currency because he is nothing but money. He has been resurrected from the sands of Cairo, Egypt, to help the Bears flourish down the riches of the Nile.
Okay. 2 of 2 on field goals, 3 of 3 on extra points. A perfect effort from our kicker.
Are you buying Santos, Abdallah?
Listen, guys, I don't want to take time away from this celebration, this Victory Monday, this, what do we call it, Victory Avenue, as we're rocking down Victory Avenue on our way to Victory Berg as we pass Victoryville. But ultimately, the best player on the field was one guy and one guy only, and his name was Cairo Santos. I mean, he was the only guy that was perfect, right? Perfect day?
He did have a perfect day.
Okay, yeah. That's like I said, the best player on the field, probably NFC Player of the Week, if I had a vote. Definitely Special Teams Player of the Week. But yeah, props to the Bears and Cairo Santos for hoisting the team on his back and winning a football game.
All right, there you go.
Doesn't get any better than that, Alec.
Take care, guys. Thank you very much. Watch the waiver wire for Santos this week on Fantasy.
All right, there you go. He's dishing out fantasy tips on Santos as well. I mean, what do we have? Pinheiro at least 2 more weeks on IR?
He'll remain on IR as long as Santos is making field goals.
Yeah. Valancourt in the South Loop, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Valancourt?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
Good.
Fantastic.
Hey, it's kind of hard to go behind Waddle, man, because Waddle's always right.
But not always.
Hey, but Nagy and Trubisky, man, they can't be late bloomers, man, when they play Minnesota and Green Bay. They were late bloomers in this game, man. And that defensive coach, he's slipping, man. He was slipping last year, and he's slipping now. Y'all ain't talked about him yet, man. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you.
Do you think it's Pagano versus Fangio, the difference in the defense that we've seen?
I don't. I don't know what the – listen, no Eddie Goldman is going to hurt your run defense. Listen, again, Akeem Hicks is brilliant. He had the only sack of the day, but he missed a lot of time as well with the quad, didn't he, in training camp? Mm-hmm. So I'm expecting him to have a larger impact. Mack has been dealing with what? I mean, there were a couple of times where they, at least one series I saw they started when Khalil was on the sideline. Maybe he's a little nicked up at this point. I expect him to be better. Look, Robert Quinn not being there is an issue. I don't know what's going on. I don't think they've given us a ton of information on that. But, like, I had him slotted for an enormous, you know, being an enormous addition to this team.
I want to bring up what Yurko brought up earlier today, if you missed it. Yurko thinks that maybe COVID had something to do with Robert Quinn. And I'll explain that coming up next.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Stafford's got it. Three-man rush for Chicago. Stafford loads the throw. Hey, yes! DeAndre Swift dropped it. It was a touchdown in his hands.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no.
Wow.
That was the call on the Lions radio network in Detroit.
Ugh.
The second to last play of the game.
To be a Lions fan right now.
We laugh at it, I know. The Lions, the Browns, the Jets. At least we're not them. But still, I mean, we're not the Patriots either.
No, well,
so it's okay to, like, worry about stuff. Like, I saw someone in, I think it was Berlissimo, who's a great guy. He calls from London all the time. He was complaining inside the Twitch channel that only Bears fans like to complain about a victory more or rip their players more. It's not a Bears fan thing. This isn't exactly playoff city USA when it comes to the Bears. The playoff trips have been few and far between. There have been two trips to the Super Bowl in 54 of these, okay? They've been doing this for 54 damn years. We've been to two. We've won one. And it's not like we're sitting here in an oasis of wins and we sit and we bitch and moan. The fan base is right on point.
What did you, some
of the things they complain about?
Everybody's is thrilled. Like I said, this is a walk and chew gum conversation. I'll ask you the question. Like, we're all thrilled they got the W. As I said to start the show, these W's feel like a win and a half to two wins. You're coming in. This is a COVID season.
Yes, you're trying to be survival of the fittest.
Yes.
And you're trying to move up. Now you got the Giants. Now you beat them at home. You're 2-0. You start believing a little more. Atlanta, we saw what they do. They score points, but they're not great.
Let me ask you a question. Honest question. I'll ask all three of you. Okay? Aside from the win that we all celebrate, how do you feel about this Bears team right now compared to how you felt about them when the ball was kicked in the air, before it was kicked in the air? Sylvie, how do you feel about it?
Exact same. Your take exactly.
Like, anxiety-ridden.
8-8, with a lot of flaws and still no big-picture answer at quarterback.
For 45 minutes, they were an unwatchable commodity on offense and a defense that didn't look like the defense I expected them to be. Okay, so, like, if you want me to shake the pom-poms for the first 45 minutes of what I saw, you're looking in the wrong direction. Thrilled as everyone, we ate a W. Thrilled.
What about you guys, Black and Abdallah?
Accountability Monday, guys. I had the Lions 27, the Bears 20 on Friday, and I feel as if I was right on that beat through 3.5 quarters, and what a fantastic finish and comeback for the Bears to win and steal that game. But I think we were right. I think what we thought about the Bears heading into this season is exactly what they showed us yesterday.
Abdallah?
I still like my prediction of the Nick Foles starting against Carolina October 18th. Because you can win this game, you can win the next game, but I don't know if you're beating Atlanta, Indy, and Tampa.
Again, I'll ask everybody. Everybody. Do they beat the Green Bay Packers with that effort yesterday?
No.
And Rodgers looks like a different guy.
Do they beat the Minnesota Vikings with that effort yesterday?
Maybe. No. You never know with Kirk Cousins.
No. Do they beat the Saints with that effort?
No.
Do they beat the Cardinals with that effort? Do they beat the Seahawks with that effort? Do they beat the Rams? Do they beat the 49ers?
There are two teams they beat with that effort, and they play them yesterday, and they play them again on Sunday.
So let's thank our lucky stars that they played.
Well, the Browns, probably.
Played the way they played against a team like the Lions, because if you would have come out and played like that against anybody else, you would have gotten beaten. That's reality. That's speculation. But that's speculation based on reality. And again, if you're the Lions, do you know what's a dangerous combination? A huge lead and a crappy defense. Huge lead, crappy defense. That would keep me up at night if I was a Lions fan.
I want to take some more calls here really quick. Yurko suggested, did the Bears get got by COVID? And I don't mean, like, did Robert Quinn have COVID? I mean, Yurko's point was, in a time when you maybe couldn't get your hands on a player as much as you would have liked during free agency, they paid him a lot of money. Did the Bears, Yurko was floating it out there, maybe the Bears signed an injured player. Are you buying that?
I don't have any evidence to say yes or no. I can't confirm nor deny because I don't have any information. It's an interesting thought.
Something's fishy, though, right? That Matt Nagy's been very quiet about this, and like all training camp, they've spun it like it's a personal issue.
It's a $30 million guarantee, isn't it? I mean, it's not a little contract.
You could have signed Clowney for that ballpark figure, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah. Listen, This was a signing I was all on board with. I thought it was fantastic. Robert Quinn had the highest win percentage, a win rate, last year of any pass rusher in all of football. So to me, on the surface, this was a home run signing by Ryan Pace.
But he didn't even practice
last week. Didn't even practice last week.
Demetrius in Englewood, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Demetrius?
Hey, happy Victory Football Monday, fellas.
You too.
Yeah, like Tommy hit it right on the head. We're still seeing the same thing. But the main thing I keep seeing that Mitch doing is, like, on the third and nine plays, and the third and seven, he's still throwing it at the line of scrimmage. He's not throwing it past the line of scrimmage. And plus, this is a passing league. We're going to need Mitch to complete more than 40% of his passes in the first down. And I think that the offense is starting to take the toll on the defense as well, because it's looking like the defense has no energy whatsoever when they see the offense is not scoring a ball.
Demetrius, I had the same thought. Now, again, I don't want to take accountability away from the defense, but after watching what the offense was doing for 45 minutes, I got the feeling that there was some demoralized guys in that defensive huddle. Again, they need to be better on their own, but it felt like to me from my couch that it looked like a demoralized group in
a little.
It's
a game one, though, Waddle. I mean, they can't be tired of the offense yet. I know it's been years past, but it's game one, for goodness sake. Play your part.
You saw how they looked in the first 45 minutes, right? Listen, I said, I'm not letting the defense off the hook. There were a couple of faces that looked a little dejected to me.
John in Highland Park, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, guys. I'm wondering, when Pagano came in January 2019, so many people said he was going to be more aggressive than Fangio. And I feel like I've just not seen that last year or this week. What do you guys think about that?
I think that's fair. I don't think that is the reputation that Chuck has had. I think when you've had the pass rush that they've had, sometimes it gives you the luxury of not having to bring pressure from other spots. The pass rush wasn't as good last year as it was in 2018. The pass rush wasn't really consistently, really didn't play a role in yesterday's game. I think you can make that claim, John. I don't know what the stats would tell you with regard to the percentage of defenses that are pure man, the number of blitzes that are coming. I don't have those stats at my fingertips, but I think it's a fair question for sure.
Mitchell in Des Plaines wants to respond to Greg Braggs. Mitchell, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going? First of all, Greg, you have the comedic timing of a Wolverine, and your comedic talents are better reserved in your basement. Please withdraw from publicizing that over the air. It was a disaster. All right, number two. Bottom line is this. With regards to what we saw in the first three quarters, that's exactly what I said. And that there's no movement. There's no growth. What you saw is exactly what you're going to get. Trubisky cannot read defense. He, on the very first quarter, he can't even get a first down. Okay? He can't get over the, it's like third and one, and he can't get a first down. Then, in the second half, he takes a 26-yard sack because when there's a rush, he flows into the rush. I mean, he has no ability to throw. Now, this is the biggest thing, Greg, okay? I want you to compare and contrast Matthew Stafford versus Trubisky. Matthew Stafford is a purebred. He steps into the pocket and throws a dart. I mean, it was just so awesome to see that execution from a quarterback. Trubisky is lost in the sauce in his mind. And the only way that the reason why we are celebrating is because the Skokie Swift dropped the ball in the last few seconds of the game.
The Skokie Swift.
So the bottom line is this. I don't want to hear you guys crying in your soup. Trubisky is a nightmare, okay? And the bottom line is that, you know what? He got the Bears got really lucky, but it came down to the fact that what you saw in the first three quarters is exactly what you're going to get in the future. And this idea that he's going to go toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers and the Minnesota Vikings. And listen, the other elements of the NFL, you're delusional. What you saw is a person who really hasn't developed. And when it comes to, here's the thing, Patricia was using zone, which was effective. And then he goes to man, which is ridiculous. All of the receivers were begging Nagy and Trubisky to throw to them because they said, I got my guy beat. I mean, I don't understand why he goes in such ineptitude. I'm talking about Patricia.
Right.
But the bottom line is you can't expect that what I call these Christmas gifts, you know, in September and October all the time. They got lucky. And listen, the bottom line, Greg, the Lions gave this one away. And by the way, Adrian Peterson looked like he was 22 years old. I mean, I want to hear about all this great defense. Listen, the defense is going to be fine. I'm sure that's just a matter of opinion. But I'm telling you right now, this team is shaky at best. And if you think that you're going to put all of your stock on this great future person in Trubisky, you're delusional.
All right, Mitch. Thank you. Mitch. There's never been the Mitch Trubisky fan. And we'll continue to see this, I think. I think he may be right. 312-332-3776. I do. You know me. I have the Tampa game as Foles' first game. And that's what, in three games from now?
I think so.
Let's go around the NFL. It was a glorious day. We've got Waddle's World coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports. This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports fans. With your robots in here, so many activities.
Let's find out together.
Step class, it's making my head spin. How many activities we can do?
As we enter,
this is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
Waddle's World brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/finest, member FDIC. I think I speak for the entire crew, Chris, Adam, and obviously, Sylvie. Yesterday was glorious.
Yes.
Glorious from an NFL perspective. I'm not even, like, I didn't put my baseball hat on yet.
No, I think from a life perspective, it felt normal.
Oh, yeah. Didn't it?
It felt normal.
It felt more than normal to me. That is, again, outside of, like, a bye week, that's the first time I've sat on my couch for an entire Sunday and never had to leave for any reason.
Yeah, you know, Thursday felt a little weird to me.
It did.
Thursday night.
I'm with you.
But Sunday, yesterday did not feel weird.
Pants
yesterday
off
felt
Sunday.
Normal.
It was a pants off Sunday.
Oh, yes.
When you've got those red zone blinders on and you're not moving for 12 hours. You're like, yeah.
It's unbelievable. Right. So with that in mind, I will.
You had games in the second. There weren't as many, but you had games in the second block going down to the wire. Even the Bengals and Chargers was a good game.
Yes, it was. We're going to spend a good portion of this portion of Waddle's World talking about the games, okay? But before we do that, I want to read you. People always say Mitch always plays well against the Lions. So before we get back into Bears, Lions, and other things at the top of the hour, Mitch has played six games against the Lions. I want to read you his stats, okay?
Yep.
He's got a 4-2 record with 14 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He averages 267 yards per game, has a 106 passer rating, and averages 13 passing first downs per game against the Lions in six games. Versus everybody else in 36 games, he's got a 20-16 record, 37 touchdowns, 25 interceptions. He averages 200 yards per game, has an 82.7 passer rating, and 9.5 passing first downs per game.
Wow.
I'm not bringing you the stat I thought it was a really interesting bit of information.
That really is. And if you would take calls in Detroit right now and you would ask them, is Mitch Trubisky good at football? They would all call and say no.
Yes.
Even though he has those
lift
stats.
Him up.
Because the Lions are bad at football, and Matt Patricia needs to be fired today.
He is just, there goes to show you, to be book smart doesn't mean you've got, like, a good football IQ. Like,
or to be assistant coach smart, too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking on any front. By the way, do you see Bruce Arians is surprised by Tom Brady's week one struggles? Arians said his new quarterback looked like the Brady of old in practice ahead of Sunday's loss to the Saints. Quote, so it's kind of unusual to see that in a ball game because New Orleans didn't do anything that we didn't get ready for. Brady was intercepted twice, once for a pick six. What did you make of what you saw?
Greeny was blaming Arians for the pick six, saying that is a throw Tom Brady should never have to make these days, knowing what he is. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree with that. I think an issue that they may find themselves having to work through is a lack. Remember, Tom has worked in the same offense with the same people for a decade plus. He's now surrounded by better talent, but he's got to get used to some of those guys.
Gronk looked old, though.
Yeah, he did.
Like, listen, there's going to be a point where Tom Brady isn't going to look like Tom Brady of old. Tom Brady's 43. There's going to be a day when the greatest quarterback of all time is going to succumb to the ails of age.
I believe still he will bounce back from this and in a few weeks look much better.
I don't disagree with that. Listen, the Saints are an elite team in the NFC. I mean, that's a tough team. Now, the Saints historically are a slow starter, but that's a tough team to open up with. There's no doubt. I would not write off Tom Brady in the box, but he looked his age a little bit, didn't he? Conversely, in Foxborough, do you think anyone was smiling more ear to ear than Bill Belichick as he and Cam Newton were orchestrating a 21-11 win over the Dolphins? Like, they were the early game. It was a 12 o'clock kickoff. So Cam Newton, 15 carries, 75 yards, and two touchdowns. They get past the Dolphins, and then in the afternoon, lighting up a victory cigar, he gets to watch Tom Brady struggle against the Bucs. It was a good, or against the Saints. Good day for Bill Belichick.
Do you believe that Belichick does enjoy watching Brady struggle?
You tell me.
He's a weird dude, so I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but it sounds like a good story, doesn't it?
Yeah, yes.
And by the way, I don't know how much you guys saw of Cam Newton with the Patriots. I'm concerned. I will agree with Greeny on this. I heard him say this a lot today. Cam Newton won't last 16 games playing that style in New England.
Well, they play the Seahawks next, the Raiders, the Chiefs, the Broncos, the 49ers, and the Bills.
Yeah.
That's a lot of running, a lot of getting hit.
They don't have a ton around him.
See, here's the thing. Like, Brady and Belichick, they broke up, right? And they'd been together for a long time. And Brady started dating someone hotter and sooner. Like, that's what happened. But he's sitting there watching Brady on the sideline, and Belichick's like, oh, I got a girlfriend now, and she's hotter than you were, and, you know, we got our win, and you're still sitting on the sideline. You got that? How's that loss treating you?
Yeah, it's not good.
I don't know. If you're in New England, like Waddle said, I don't know how long that's going to play.
Yeah, that's
he's going to have to throw the ball.
Doesn't matter, man. If you ain't first, you're last.
Did you see this stat, Waddle? Kyler Murray. We were in the text chain. We were loving what Kyler Murray was doing.
He got hit once, right?
Yeah, I think he ran like 13 or 14 times, and of those times, he only got hit once. He either slid or went out of bounds all the other times.
There's an art to being able to run without exposing yourself to significant pain.
Yes.
So, and by the way, there was somebody screaming, take that, this morning, and I don't know that it was Cap. It was Aaron Rodgers. Like, how about Aaron Rodgers is on the FU tour, is what he's on. To all you people that thought I couldn't play, and it started in Minnesota, where he threw for four touchdowns and 364 yards on 32 of 44 passes.
Well, I thought it was stupid when I saw him, like, as the seventh-rated quarterback in the NFL. Like, even last year, his numbers weren't terrible. I know he still wasn't, like, prime Aaron Rodgers, but come on. People wrote off Aaron Rodgers way too quickly.
Yes,
I thought the Packers would get beat, though. But I still think Aaron Rodgers is really good. That's why I want him to be the Bears quarterback in a year or two.
Yeah, good luck with that. The Seahawks beat the Falcons 38-25. That Seahawks team travels. They're well coached. Russ is great. I mean, that's an enviable team.
Did he have four incompletions the whole game? I think he was like 31 of 35.
I mean, Russ was sick. He was 31. You're right. 31 of 35 for 322, four touchdowns and no interceptions.
Boy, on the road.
I'm telling you, he gets ample credit, but I don't think he gets even. With that said, he's a better player than I think most people
acknowledge.
He's
never gotten an MVP vote.
I know, which
he's
is
the
crazy.
Second best player in the National Football League.
Right? I think you can make a case for that. By the way, did you see some of the throws that Lamar Jackson was making? We were, Bleck and I and Abdallah and I were watching some of just the flick throws, sidearms for touchdowns. The Ravens did what the Ravens always do when they open the season. They're coming out hot, 38-6 over the Browns and Baker Mayfield. Lamar Jackson was 20 of 25 for 275 yards and three touchdowns and had plenty of yards on the ground.
I think they're your Super Bowl pick, right?
They're my Super Bowl pick.
Boy,
absolutely.
Were they looking good.
They got the coach
yesterday.
And they got the quarterback.
Yeah, you can keep these Browns. Anybody who wants them, you can keep them.
Can you believe? And then
keep
they signed
Browns.
Cody Parkey today.
A thumbs up to Ron Rivera and the Washington Football Club. His first game as their head coach. I believe he had to get an IV at the half.
Right.
And they win that game 27-17 over the Eagles. So Ronnie, tip of the cap.
They were down what, 17-0?
Yes. Yes, they were.
Pretty that's Ron Rivera strong right there.
The Jags upset the Colts 27-20. Did you see the numbers of Gardner Minshew? 19 of 20 for 173 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah,
did we trade for the wrong Jaguar?
really
quick on that note.
Yeah.
Like, we got the Bears of the Giants next week. They should be beatable. Atlanta lost to Seattle.
Agreed.
The Colts lost to the Jaguars. Those are the first four games, and maybe Tom Brady ain't as good as the past. That's
a big
game.
What? Maybe Mitch makes progress. Maybe we're Super Bears Super Bowl.
Sing it, baby. Loud and proud.
And by the way, the Bengals and Joe Burrow, I actually was impressed by what I saw from Joe Burrow. They lost 16-13. They did what the Bengals normally do, and that's find a way to lose. But the Cardinals 49ers game was outstanding. Kyler Murray was fantastic. Jimmy Garoppolo may find himself in my good, bad, and dirty section of today for a crappy throw and crunch time. But there's a whip around the NFL for you. By the way, the NFL is threatening to discipline coaches who do not wear masks on the sideline. They've sent a memo to and you know what? Again, I will acknowledge the NFL for finding a way collectively to show the discipline to get to this point. No, this is something that a lot of people doubted was possible.
Right. I'll take a deeper breath after we play week two.
Okay, that's because fine.
Because just like what happened with the Marlins and with the Cardinals,
that's fair.
There could be some hiccups. And I just, before I really settle in knowing that
fair.
I'm getting Sunday football,
fair.
I want to see them do this a time or two.
But I think it was difficult to get to where they got to. And I think they deserve credit for the discipline it took to get there.
Amen.
Amen to the Bears for all that they did to get ready to play. When we come back, I have the nuttiest story of the day for you, okay? You won't want to miss this.
I do.
This hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruits. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Now, all right, you know what time it is. Time for the nuttiest story of the day, and it's brought to you by our great friends, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball
is bound to get a little nutty.
You know, there are certain things in life that freak me out. Do you know what those things are?
Space is one of them.
Yes.
For sure, right?
Yes.
And we had ourselves a space story today.
Well, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. Potential sign of alien life detected on inhospitable Venus. Not talking about Uranus. I'm talking about Venus. Okay?
Right. So not get Uranus, it's your Venus?
Get your Venus. Get your planets right, okay? I didn't say Uranus. I said Venus.
Did you say something about Sabonis?
Did not. I said Venus.
Oh, okay. I thought. Okay.
Potential sign of alien life detected on inhospitable Venus. Scientists said today they have detected in the harshly acidic clouds of Venus a gas called phosphine that indicates microbes may inhibit Earth's inhospitable neighbor, a tantalizing sign of potential life beyond Earth. The researchers did not discover actual life form, but noted that on Earth, phosphine or fine is produced by bacteria thriving in oxygen-starved environments. The international scientific team first spotted the phosphine or phosphine using a telescope in Hawaii. And one of the really smart guys said, I was very surprised, stunned, in fact. The existence of extraterrestrial life long has been one of the paramount questions of science. Scientists have used probes and telescopes to seek biosignatures, indirect signs of life, on other planets and moons in our solar system and beyond. With what we currently know of Venus, the most plausible explanation for this chemical, as fantastical as it might sound, is life.
Again, there's all these different planets. There's all these different planets. And we think that there's not life on any of them? Of course there is.
Do you think there's life on Uranus?
Yes.
Is it?
Depends on what I've had for dinner.
No, there's definitely life. I know what you're saying, though. Especially for Waddle, like every half hour. There's lots of life.
I am 12. But they said, 12 years old. I can't get through it.
They said that Venus is inhabitable because the gas is noxious. Is that what they said?
There you go. More planet jokes.
No, that's not a joke. That was real. Like, I think that's in the article. I printed it out.
Ray, before we get to a nice round of Florida, Ohio, Ray, do you see this? Raging killer whales are launching terrifying orchestrated attacks on boats, injuring sailors, and nobody knows why.
They're smart.
It's 2020. I mean, it's
scientists have been left confused by a series of incidents in which killer whales have hit sailing boats along the Spanish and Portuguese coast. In some cases, boats have been damaged, and at least one crew member suffered bruising from the impact of the ramming. Two boats also lost parts of their rudders due to the impact of the attacks.
Jerry Jones had himself a ramming last night.
By the way, how
because
about that stadium? Right. That was a poor use of ramming, but any chance to use the phrase ramming, I'm in for it. High five to you, buddy.
Killer whales are also the ones that take, like, the seal.
And flip them in the air.
And flip it as high as they possibly can for fun, right?
Yeah.
What is it? Can I ask you this question about Jerry Jones? What's weirder, my middle finger that has been crooked forever or his pinky finger? Did you see
when
his hand
his
over his heart?
Finger. No, I didn't.
Take a look at the Jerry Jones picture, hand over
his
heart.
Does he have arthritis? Maybe it's an arthritic condition. I don't
think
know.
He was a 16-inch softball player, too. Take a look at it, guys.
Yeah, I think that's how he spent his time. And then somebody paid him $400 billion because he was such a good 16-inch softball player.
He's got a bit of a fat pinky there.
It's fat and crooked, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know how often he's counting money? I mean, he probably, like, blew out all the tendons in his fingers.
It's usually a cause to see a doctor. It's fat and crooked.
Okay. That's called Peyronie's disease. Okay? You should check that out if you have issues. It's serious. That's a serious issue. You want to play a game?
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals. Random stabbings. Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Ah. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Bam, bam. Yeah. Woman attacked McDonald's staff member over cookie.
What?
Look to the cookie. A woman will spend 90 days in jail after admitting that she attacked several McDonald's workers after discovering that her drive-thru order did not contain a cookie. In a plea deal, Dodger Tucker copped to assault and criminal damage charges in connection with the confrontations at a McDonald's. According to cops, Tucker was intoxicated when she tangled with workers around 10:15 p.m., angry that she had been shorted a cookie. Tucker climbed through the drive-thru window.
Oh, you can't do that.
And fought with employees, one of whom Tucker spit on.
Oh, come on.
Oh, this is so like Florida in the middle of the pandemic.
Totally Tampa.
Yeah, it is just, I'm not wearing a mask. Where's my damn cookie? Florida.
Do that voice again, Sylvie. That was great.
I'm not wearing a damn mask. Where's my cookie?
Florida. I'm going Florida, too.
Waddle.
I said totally Tampa.
Yeah. Oh, okay. A woman attacked a McDonald's staff member over a cookie in Parma, Ohio.
Whoa!
Take that.
Big upset.
The only win for Ohio yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. You are right. Bad hey, speaking of Victory Mondays, we're going to get you all drunk with the Bears Kool-Aid. Yeah. And how about Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace wanting to be like Mike? You'll hear about that in 2 minutes.